his closing message for 2019, entitling the message, God Shows Up in Every Season. We are taking you through a transition. We live through ups and downs in 2019. Inevitably, we all face our challenges. We can't deny that fact. There are times you go through that down period. There are times you went up and you came down. Whatever you have gone through, you are not going to live with that and bring it across to 2020. You have to come to a place that you have to surrender and say to the Lord, I need to move to 2020 with what God intent me to do. Because my God wants to do a new thing. Amen? And He is going to show up in every season of our life. You have dry season, you have wet season, you have moderate season, I don't know. But whatever your situation is, God shows up in every season. And this particular passage I want to share with you is that it became a dry season for Israel. And in that dry season, we're going to see and hear the message of God in such a promising manner that's going to take you through from that dry season into 2020, where the season will always be a powerful place where God provides in a different and extraordinary way. You may think that it's time to get out of the dry season, but in my text today, God is going to let you stay in that dry season, but you are going to experience the extraordinary power of God in that season. Are you with me? Turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 19. Very popular verse, but I'm going to take you to another angle. Listen to verse 16 to verse 19. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wig. If you would have read this, you will probably remember an incident that took place in Exodus 14 and 15, where the chariots of Pharaoh were all drowned in that sea. And he says in verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Somebody repeat that verse with me. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Tell your neighbor, wilderness. Come on. Tell your neighbor, wilderness. God is making a way in the wilderness, and God is making a stream in the wasteland. Praise the Lord. We need to understand the background of this text. We need to know that physically, economically, culturally, and also religiously, the people of that time, the people of God, felt that Babylon is mighty and strong. They, in their mind, they knew that Babylon is the superpower. But Isaiah came and spoke the prophetic word. He tried to convince the people of God and said that God is greater than Babylon. He's trying to convince them that God is more powerful than what you think about Babylon. Because the verse started in verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Somebody say amen. When the Lord starts speaking, something powerful begins to happen. This is what the Lord says. I pray today that you will hear what the Lord says and not hear what I say. Somebody say amen. This is what the Lord says. There will be a transition from where you are to 2020. And God is going to do a new thing. Somebody saying amen. When the Lord says, you got to believe it. You see, the Bible says that God addresses the people, and that same God that he addresses the people said that he will make a way in the sea. He will make a path in the mighty waters. If you were to look at that same image, there will be a similarity to Exodus 14 and 15. Isaiah wants them to look into the revelation of the redemptive work of God during that time. What he's trying to say to them is this. Listen, brothers and sisters. What God has done before, he can do it again. Are you with me? What God has done before, he can do it again. If you agree, come on, say a big amen. If you know that God is going to do something powerful, and you know he has done it before, and you go through a dry season, and you look back, and you ask this question, will God do it again? I have to text for you today, he will do it again. Are you there with me? And listen very carefully. A lot of time, we are just like Israel. Israel reacted, by the way. They keep reacting by saying Babylon is stronger. So strong that held them to such a great bondage. They felt that Babylon is stronger than God. You see, look at the slide. Isaiah said that Babylon is no match to God to free his people. While Israel think that Babylon is stronger than God. Many of us, we think that our problem is always greater than God. We live as though our situation is far greater than God. We live as though that the trouble we go through, and we just cry and weep and cry and weep and cry and weep until to the point of depression, as though that God is not able anymore. I want you to see this text very powerfully. Isaiah described that journey through the wilderness, though it may be hard, but he has shown me a very strong implicit image that the grace and the power of God prevailed in the past, and it will prevail again in the future. The power of God is observed in his everyday grace upon our lives. And look at the next slide. It's a dry season for Israel. If you look at the text today, it is truly a dry season for Israel. But God is taking them through the closing season of dryness. Because there is enough growth, there is enough intimacy. We all face our dry season, don't we? We all face our dry season just as Israel had. But they have enough power in the midst of the dry season because God is there. God is not away from your dry season. God is in your dry season. So Isaiah states the best way for Israel to experience this extraordinary growth is to walk through the dry season. Many of us, as human beings, we have such an inclination to walk out and try to get away or manipulate our ways and with our ideas to get out of the problem. But the Lord says, walk through. The best way is to walk through and not walk out your dry season. I'll tell you why. Even though Israel had to walk through the pathless progress through this hot, waterless desert, they had to walk through these hot movements where literally dehydration, thirst, and dryness overwhelms them. When I look at the text, I could literally close my eyes and visualize the dry season of life covers every aspect of us, every aspect of our being. Our relationship with God is an uphill journey, don't you think so? Yes, we do. We are not trying to be negative. We are trying to be realistic with our practical life. It's an uphill journey. We are not exempted from facing dry season. During the time we have this emotional fear, during the time our thoughts have been hijacked into negative thinking, everybody is having a great time. I am the only one. Poor me. Emotionally and mentally, we got dehydrated. Sometimes it affects our spiritual walk with God as well. So in this text, I want you to realize that God purposes dry season for all of us. In case you are saying, I don't want any dry season, I want to get out of that. But listen carefully. Listen to the text. Listen to the message. God purposes a dry season because He knows that in that dry season, you are demanded or you are being called to look unto His promises and to hold on to Him. Am I right or not? In times like this, I want to look up and look for His promises and grab hold of it. But many a time, we find that God's promises seem so far and seem so unrealistic. Sometimes it's not even there, as some people thought. How is it that He blessed me and all of a sudden He disappeared? But I have good news for you, because many of the great men of God went through the same thing. I want to show you one text, by the way. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 9. There are 9 verses for me to talk about. All right, listen to this. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Live here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Raven, east of the Jordan. And listen to verse 4. You will drink from the brook. Wonderful, isn't it? God provides that. And I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. You get nice burgers from morning to evening. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Raven, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The raven brought him what? Bread and meat. That's our burger. In the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. He has nice cappuccino. In verse 7, sometime later, the brook dried up. Listen to the word. Listen to the word. Sometime later, what happened? The brook dried up because there had no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed who? A widow there to supply you with food. How many of you know that God speaks during dry season? Amen. God speaks during dry season. The only problem is that we are not listening. We are not hearing because we are more obsessed to the dry season than God who is there. We forgot that He speaks. So here we have this great man Elijah went through the same problem. He was called in to trust the Lord. We saw that whole passage. He believed in the promises of God. But then guess what? The moment he obeyed, then suddenly the brook ran dry. Listen to me. It's easy to trust God when you get free supply of food. Am I right or not? Especially from the ravens. Unprecedented. Never seen before. But what happened when the brook got dried up? Many of us find it hard to believe in the promises of God. We aim for the promises of God. We want to grab hold of them. And as you grab hold of the promises, suddenly things begin to happen. Bad things. What do you do when you have trouble believing in the promises of God? I know some of us may have trouble believing when you're in dry season. I have one prayer for you. Pray this. Lord, I believe. Help me my unbelief. Are you there? Lord, help me my unbelief. Things were going well, and all of a sudden, Elijah had to face up with a drought again. Look at this next slide. Abraham was told to leave his family and his home and to go to a foreign land in which he obeys. And the moment he arrives there was famine. Look at Isaac. Isaac was told by God to live in the land, and so he dig well. Guess what happened? After he dig his well, suddenly the neighbors move in and took over the well. How many of you like that? Joseph is given a vision from the Lord and his brothers that his father and mother and his family is going to bow down to him. What happened to him? He was taken and sold as a slave into Egypt. Look at Moses. Moses was sent by God to confront the Pharaoh and order the freedom of Israelites. You know what Pharaoh did? He increases the workload and make their bondage even more oppressive. What a promise. God, you said you're going to deliver them. And look at David. anointed to be the future king, honors the Lord by standing up against Goliath, and the next thing he became a fugitive. He had to run away from Saul. Don't you think that many of us had all these experiences? You all of a sudden heard a great message and you heard the promises and you grab hold of it and say, yes, yes, I'm going with that promise. And the moment you get out the next day or Monday morning, your boss calls you. You get like, man, I thought God is going to bless my life, but why is it that I had to go through dry season like this? God knows. Look at this line. That the struggle during this dry season have great promises. How many of you know that? We have so engrossed with the dry season, we forgot that God plays His promises within the dry season. Because it is only that way that He can purge your situation, He can sharpen your life, and He will help you to pursue righteousness, and He can help you to be perfected. Which easy access can't produce that. An easy, comfortable way of life can't produce that. So listen to this. The fulfillment of God's promises have not arrived, but the process has arrived. The process of God wanting to fulfill His promises is already there. And He is taking you through. That's why He wants to create the space of devotion. That you may come to Him and not get distracted by your dry season, your problems, and your struggles. Brothers and sisters, during this dry season, do you actually believe in the promises of God? Do you actually hold on to the Lord? I want you to know that is the moment where growth begins to happen. That is the moment where faith is stretched. If you were to go through an easy access, you don't need any faith. But if you go through a dry season, that's when your faith is stretched. And you get so worried, how long can I last? And that's where the problem begins. We become afraid. We get exhausted. We become worried. But I look at the text. It was a powerful text. Listen to this. This is very powerful. God wants to use all your struggles in 2019 to connect to God's promises. Only then, look at the slide, only then He says, see, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Only when you take all your struggles and your pain and connect yourself with the living God and His promises, then He will declare to you, see, behold, I am doing a new thing. If you are not ready to surrender your struggle, you will continue to live on with your struggle for the next whatever years. If you want to face a new year, 2020, it's time for you to connect your struggles and your pain with the promises of God. Only then He will declare to your life and He says, I am going to do a new thing. Listen, brothers and sisters, when God does a new thing, He's going to clear off the cloud of darkness. He's going to clean you up. He's going to raise you up beyond your normal, ordinary stages. He's going to cause you to arise in your situation. He's wanting you to stop wandering in the wilderness, but start searching for the pathway in the desert. Because God says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Somebody say amen. So He wants you to move on. You can't move into 2020 when you're your failures in 2019 are not cleaned up in the name of Jesus Christ. If you still hold on to your bitterness and you still hold on to your pain, you still hold on to your struggle, you can't move on to 2020. You will only physically move yourself to that year, but you will not experience the victory. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's desire for you today is to rise up beyond your normal status and experience the victory that He has in store for you. And somebody say amen. He wants to do a new thing. Look at this slide. Some people think that when God is doing a new thing, God is going to take you out of the desert and out of the wilderness. I want you to know it's not true. Because in this text, I saw something. Most of us are very eager to get out. If I have a problem with the family, do you walk out of the family? It's very easy for people to walk out of family today, isn't it? That's why we have a divorce rate that is so high. If you know how to walk out when you are young, you know how to walk out when you get older too. I tell you honestly, if you know how to walk out because you don't like what your mom and dad does or what your brother did or what your sister did, you just walk out. By the time you grow up and you get married, you also walk out because it's part of your life already. And I want to say this to you, that is not God's plan. He wants to transition you in the desert. Look very carefully into the text. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Look at the text. I am what? Making a way where? In the Hollywood? He's making a way where? In the wilderness. He's making what? Streams what? In the desert. That's what He's doing. He didn't take you out of the wilderness. He didn't take you out of the desert. He is making a way in the desert. He's making a way and streams in the desert. So this is what God is saying. When you got dehydrated once before, but now He's going to give you the sustenance in your life while you're going through the dry season. Brothers and sisters, yes, this is what God is saying. I want to do a fresh thing, a fresh possibilities at where you were. You were there, you were choked with the absence of hope. At that time, you look around and say, I don't see any hope. I don't see any possibilities. But the Lord says, while you are staying there, I will give you that hope. Amen? And hope is injected. You know what makes the difference, brothers and sisters? Listen to this. This is so vital. The attitude of our faith is changed. The attitude of our faith is now stirred up. The thoughts that once upon a time we look around and say, look at the briars, look at the thorns, look at the bushes. I do not know how to get out of it. But now the Lord is going to instill a new thought in you. While you're in a dry season, your thoughts now is stretching beyond and able to see that God is more than able what we ask for. Somebody say amen. That's what God is saying. I believe now that God will not fail. That's our perspective already. That's our thoughts. That's what we believe in. God is going to change that because He changed you. If we are not changed, brothers and sisters, you will carry on the 2019 to 2020 to 2021 to 2022. Seriously. So let us close the year with the right approach, with the right attitude, with a changed life. Somebody say amen. But I want to add on something here. Now, look at the next slide. It's very interesting when we start looking at Israel's relationship with God. Because Israel's relationship with God is going to be the same as our relationship with God. Look at it. Many of us are very aware. Israel will retain their beliefs and their relationship with God. And the moment they do so, this is what will happen. The land will become fertile. The nation will be healthy. They will be protected from the enemies. And at the same time, prosperity and abundance of wealth will flow into the nation. But what happened is, when Israel fell into an open rebellion, like many believers nowadays, this is what you should know. When Israel rebelled, the land was decimated. And not only the land, the hedges of protection from the enemy is now broken, and the people of God is exposed to the enemy. I'm serious. It's exposed. And at the same time, diseases begin to hit the people, and poverty covers the nation. Now, listen to this. This is the history of Israel, the life they live in. They were good, and then they rebel. I think the Christians need to realize that we too have the same life. But the beauty behind this is that in both circumstances, God loves Israel. In both circumstances, God never changed His love for us. He still loves us, because His love never changed. But He wants to find ways to grow us in the midst of our rebellion. Because the rebellion will lead us to that dryness. And in that dryness, He's going to transit us and move us from where we are to where we're supposed to be. It tells me one thing, that God loves us, but even though we rebel or disobey, He wants to use that dry season to grow us. How many of us will find this necessary, will find this certain for their growth in their dry season? Brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, God works in dry season. God works in dry season. So please, stop manipulating your season with your ideas. It's time to surrender your struggles and connect yourself with God's promises. Then you will hear God says, I am going to do a new thing. You see, friend, I realize this. When you are not a child of God, you're just an unbeliever who doesn't believe in God at all, you will face four literal seasons. What are they? Winter, spring, summer, and autumn. Am I right? But when you are a child of God, you will face the same season like any ordinary people would, except God shows up in every season. Are you with me? God shows up in every season. When Jacob was told to meet up with his brother Esau, whom he cheated the birthright, he was apprehensive and worried. And then that very night, while he was strategizing his family to meet the brother, that night he had an encounter with God. And he wrestled with God. We all know that God has to change Jacob's attitude before he meets his brother. Do you know what happened during that whole event? God showed up. At the same time, the great revival, we called it the miracles of the Azusa Street, way back in America, Tommy Welchow described that God visited them in the barn to introduce the Son of God. He did not pop up and showed up in the cathedral. He showed up in the barn where they kept the animals. And during that time, miracles began to happen in this old rugged church, which once upon a time housed the animals, but now it is rented out for revival meetings. Now become unfit for the animals. Maybe if the animals attend, they will probably get revival too. Today, we built buildings and we built great temples and cathedrals with lavish decorations and furnishings. I'm not here to undermine those who have great testimony with great buildings. But what I'm saying, according to the revival of Azusa Street, is that God showed up in the most humbling dwelling place. If you remember the book of Acts, Peter and John, they were the one who witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus told them and gave them instruction to go to the upper room. They followed the command. They followed the advice. And they went up. And the Bible tells me while they were praying for the 10 days, listen to this, there was a mighty wind that just came by and God showed up. Somebody say amen. You never know when God is going to show up. But I do know one thing from the scripture. When you start seeking God and you start praying and you say, Lord, I'm going to connect myself to your promises, and I know you're going to do a new thing. That baptism of the Holy Ghost was a new thing. It was so new and it's so loud that everybody got attracted, that the people began to rush in and wanting to hear what is happening. God was doing a new thing. God was doing a new thing, and a powerful thing also took place. 3,000 or more people got saved. God showed up in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, where people got saved daily, every day. I pray today, church, that 2020 is your year. It is your year to go out and bring people to the house of God and get them saved in Jesus' name. It is your year. It is your time. 2020 is your time. Tell your neighbor, it's your time. It's your time to bring in people. Somebody say amen. Because when God does the new thing, listen to me. The Bible says, where eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. God is going to do a new thing that you have never seen before in the name of Jesus Christ. I trust and I pray that you will hold on to the promise. And you say, but Pastor, when I hold on to the promise, will I face the challenge? Yes, you will face the challenge. But you know what? My God will show up in the name of Jesus Christ. He will show up in every situation of our life. So stop, brothers and sisters. Do not have the past stereotype of God that stop you to believe the possibilities. Stop. Do not constrict your understanding of God today. Just because you are limited in your experience and you try to narrow down the way God works. My God shows up anytime, any day in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells me where two or three gathered in His name, He is there in the midst. So brothers and sisters, trust what the word of the Lord says. You know what happened when you start limiting God? Many of us can never get an open door because we restrict God to certain kind of doors. We only see God only at certain doors. We never see that He can open any other doors. God doesn't change His text within the context. He only changes His provision. Are you with me? When there was no water in the wilderness, He brought in water. When there was no river in the desert, He brought in that river. And I suggest to you that Israel is still in the wilderness. Are you with me? He was still in the wilderness and still in the same place at that time. They were once dehydrated, but now God has hydrated them. They were once so cramped, but now God has liberated them. They were once frustrated, but now God has sustained them. So listen, brothers and sisters, look at the next slide. The barriers can become blessings only when we change our perspective. Are you there with me? Are you going to hold on to your old, ugly, very foolish ideas in your head and still think that 2019 is the same year and when I move to 2020, it's going to be the same? Have you ever heard somebody ask you and say, how's your new year? Ah, same old, same old. Ah. Have you heard that before? I've heard that when I ask, how's your new year? Same old thing. You know why it's the same? Because your life is the same. Are you with me? It's your perspective. It's your perspective. It's our attitude of our faith here. We need to change that mindset. You see, when we start doing that, we can see that while we are in the same place, God is going to bestow the grace, and this is what God called it, a new thing. You are not in a different place, brothers and sisters. For example, today, I still live in the corrupted world. Am I right or not? Are you still there? God is not going to take me out of this corrupted world. And I got to learn to live within this situation of life. But I'm going to have the right perspective, right attitude of my faith. And I'm going to see that God can do a new thing in my life. And when I start changing, My mind and my heart start to change. And as I move to 2020, I begin to see with great expectation that God can do a new thing. But if you don't change in 2019, you will not be able to see the new thing. You will always hold on to the former thing. You will always hold on to the past. And you will live in the past for the rest of your life. But here God is standing there that He wants to do a new thing. And awaiting for you to come and connect with Him with His promises. So that He can speak that word of life to you. I am doing a new thing. Are you ready for that? Because God wants to show up and reveal Himself to you. He's not going to take you away from this corrupted world. He's going to let you live on. So He wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to see success in your life. He wants you to see victory in your life. But you need to be connected to His promises. Because God does His work in every season. We all look for that bright season. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. So brothers and sisters, I want to close with this illustration. Perhaps you may have heard it, perhaps not. It was a father who has four sons. And he wanted to teach his children a great lesson not to judge people by one season. He sent them on a quest and told them to look out for a pear tree. He sent the elder son on the winter season. And then he sent the second one on the spring, and the third one during the summer, and the fourth one during the autumn. They all went according to the respective season. They came back, and the father got every one of them after that 1 year. He got them together, sat down, and asked them the question, what have they observed of that pear tree? And this is what the first son said, that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. The second son said, no, it was not bad and ugly and twisted. It was covered with green buds and full of promise. The third son decided to disagree. He said, no, it was laden with blossoms that smell so sweet and look so beautiful. And it is the most graceful thing he had ever seen. And finally, the last son completely disagreed with all the three. And he said to them, no, it was ripe, it was drooping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment. And the father smiled at them and explained to the children. He said, sons, you were all right in your season because you saw them according to that season. The thing is that you cannot judge the tree by that one season. It needed all the four seasons in order to see the fruits. So brothers and sisters, your dry season is one of the four. And if you think you can discard your dry season, then you will miss the beauty of that blossom. You will miss the opportunity to see it taking fruition. So this is what I say to you. Whatever you go through during that time of dry season, don't undermine or despise it. Go walk through it. But as you walk through it, you surrender your pain, your struggle, and connect it to the promise of God. And when you are connected, He's going to take you from that season to another season. And you're going to see the fruition when the time is right. Somebody say amen. So God is going to take you through. Most of the time we try to despise the dry season. We try to walk out of the dry season. But the Lord says walk through. Walk through. Walk through because I am going to do a new thing. I'm going to provide the streams in the desert. I'm going to provide rivers in the wilderness. I'm going to provide a way where there seems to be no way. Brothers and sisters, you got to grab hold of the promise and you connect yourself to the Lord and listen right and clearly and vividly. The Lord is saying to the church, I am going to do a new thing in the name of Jesus Christ. You may walk from the transition. You said, I came with the promises of God to Australia, but then I'm walking through so much problem. Listen! Walk through the dry season. You may have the problem, but it's not the end, because God has something greater and better for you. Are you with me? Give him a good one to the Lord. Come on, church. I have enough scriptures to tell me that God is doing a new thing. Because the Bible tells me in Psalms 33, verse 3, sing to him a new song. Jeremiah 31, 31, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Ezekiel 11, verse 19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. And then Mark chapter 1, verse 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching and with authority? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Somebody say amen. So 2020, it's not about your situation. It's about God changing you, and you're going to have a new perspective, a new attitude. Some people, they thought, I want to get out of the place. I want to get out of the home. I want to get out of the company. You think that's a solution? If you don't walk through the dry season, you are not going to see the fruition of life. So I challenge you today, take this moment of time and say, God, help me, help my unbelief. Help me to believe the possibilities and help me with my unbelief. God is right there, taking you through that 2019. Two more days, brothers and sisters. Two more days. And when he takes you through, he's going to take you right to 2020. Then you will realize new thoughts, new heart, new covenant, new stand, new position in Christ Jesus. And when you have that, you are going to hear that word. Son, daughters, behold, I am doing a new thing. And somebody said, amen. Come on. Give him all loud praise and cheers to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to stand together with me in the name of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432. Or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.